Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Holocaust Vocal Psychic Hour. Well, today we are taking your calls, of course, 914-338-0164, and perhaps we'll have a chance to chat as well about something which has been yet undecided. So we will be coming up with that, I think, as the show progresses. We do have a caller in the queue. We're going to bring her on in just a moment, but we invite her and everyone that's listening to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. You may find those links on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. All right. Let us bring on Patricia. Patricia, thanks for calling back in.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Fine, thanks.
Very well. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I was very so much looking forward to the day you both and speak with you again. Eager to learn what do you pick up on that relationship.
Go ahead. Yes,
my birthday.
We have that. 2673. We've got your birth dates. That's right, right?
Okay.
2673.
Yes.
And what is his birthday?
His birthday is 2/28/63.
Wow. Okay. Well, the years are they're when you put an X between the years, your 6 to his 3 becomes your year. Your his 7 to your 3 becomes his year. You're born in the same month, and his day is actually in the between 2 and 8 is a 6. So your day actually shows up in your division of 2 and 8. And he is a 8, 10, 22, 9, 31, 4.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
And his day is your karma.
Yeah, that's right.
His day is
your karmic number, 28.
Changeable.
Yeah, I already said that. But go ahead, Neil.
Do you want to say something? Well,
you start today.
Well, Patricia, you have a past life connection with this person, so we consider that in terminology a soulmate. Well, a soulmate just means that your souls have met before. The souls are now in a new body, so there's this body connection, but it's layered with a soul history. So you have a soul connection with him. What he does is there's a general challenge you might have in maintaining a balance in your life, which could be resulting like in, you know, are your relationships as balanced as your profession? Is everything in sync? And obviously it isn't. So this man comes in to maybe perhaps provide that balance for you. However, his sense of balance is also conflicted with his own personal problems. So he's not a shoo-in for balance. On an ideal level, if the two of you were working at your peak form, you would make a pretty good couple. But short of that, you're going to be working through the karma of your relationship with him. you're just going to be working through work and problems and miscommunication. It was a good day, then a bad day. So you're going to have this consistent, irregular pattern of pleasure with him until the issues are resolved and balance is maintained within the relationship.
Is he afraid of commitment? Is there anything like that going on?
No, he wants the commitment. He really wants this commitment. I am the one that's walking.
I was feeling something about a commitment, but I got it wrong. It's you that has problems with the commitment, not him.
You see, but in this regard, then on this topic alone, he wants the commitment, i.e. balance, and Patricia is having trouble with it on any given level, so it's not coming into her world.
Right.
So he wants a commitment. You're not ready for that for some reason, whether it's dependably sound or not, and that's the situation, just as we spoke of, that there's going to be conflict until there's balance.
So let's talk a little bit about your feelings, Patricia, and your unwillingness to commit at this point. Why are you hesitating to commit to this person?
Well, we were in a long-term relationship, about 22 months. Yes,
Now I'm remembering. Go ahead. So.
Yes, we broke up. We were in a five-year committed relationship, and we broke up, and it's been 2 years. Well, almost 2 years has passed. He's remained in contact with me. He would text just to see how I'm doing, or he's tried to reconnect with me on several occasions, and I didn't feel that he was sincere and ready at the time. It's not that I don't love him and just adore him in a, in another relationship. I just want it to be I want something concrete. I want the balance. I want the give and take. I want the connection to be in a good place at this time.
Let me just say something here for a minute, and then I'll let Kristen and let you join the discussion. You're talking about a five-year relationship, which is your master numbers put together. That's a five. You're a one, he's a four. You're talking about 22 months, which is that broken up four.
And not only that, they have a 22 in their months. I mean, they're both born in the month
right.
Of February.
Wow.
Yeah, there's 22s all over.
Yeah.
So you see, we're talking in code, Patricia. The numbers that you gave us are connected to the codes in your birth date. And somehow I would have to right now shine the spotlight on you and say, listen, there's something you're holding back on.
Well, there's a problem now, though. Can I interject something? They broke up already. So this is an old relationship, which she's rekindling or
examining.
Yeah, but
she's compounded. So the breakup is not.
Right. But but it's important. The reason why they broke up is important. In
she didn't feel he was sincere or ready.
Well, was there a specific event that triggered it? Was he unfaithful or not?
He was unfaithful.
So yes, that's what I thought. Okay. So he was unfaithful. So actually, let's go back to what I said about his fear of commitment or problem with commitment. That actually was accurate in terms of his energy, because he obviously has a problem with commitment if he's being unfaithful. He was unfaithful in the past. He may want a commitment now, but in a commitment, didn't perform to the standards that one would expect someone to perform in a commitment. He also, by the way, number is in between her 7-3, which is also interesting.
Yeah, but you see, yeah, there's a complication of him. Obviously, he was cheating on you.
And the 22, right. I mean, you know, they've got the 11 thing going on. She's got an 11 in her 1973. 11 brings in an idea of darkness. There's a dark sexuality going on with him being unfaithful. You guys have 22s between you, probably something in a past life occurred where there was infidelity and you're coming back together to resolve that, but it's not totally working out. But go ahead, Neil, I'm sorry.
Well, there's another, why I was talking about the light on you, Patricia, is that this is bringing up I've been feeling that this is bringing up a feeling of loss and abandonment in your life. So if you go back in your life and you pull up the themes of loss and abandonment, losing something, feeling abandoned, him cheating on you could be triggering something in your past that was in intensity about loss and abandonment.
Yes. Yes. My father, rest his soul, he's crossed over. But when I was maybe around the ages of maybe 12, 13, between 12 and 14, he moved out of state, and he did not return until I was 20. And I did everything I could. I acted out to the fullest. Whatever I could do, Lord bless my mom's soul, she dealt with me. Out of the five of us, I was probably the worst thorn in her backside, and I tried my best to act up so I could get to my dad, but it did not work out. And I felt that abandonment.
Yeah, that abandonment now, probably when he cheated on you, it triggered your connection to your father on some conscious level or subconscious level. And so you don't totally trust men. And that, but you have to get over that, realistically speaking, and legitimately speaking, you have to get over that to have a healthy relationship.
Right. And I don't really think, to be honest, this is the guy for Patricia. I mean, I think you can find a healthier individual than him. I mean, what is your thought, Patricia, on that?
Yes, I do feel, I do feel that way. I mean, what's so funny is that during this 2 years of being out of the relationship with him, I've dated a number of times and just do not seem to be interested, or my attention is with the couple of guys I've dated, just they don't seem to draw me in. And so I am in the nursing program, of course. So I just put my focus in that for right now. I really hadn't been on a date, I guess, in a couple of months. So I guess you need to get out there and put yourself out there if you're looking for something. But I do still have love for him. For some reason, when we do manage to occupy each other's time, we really enjoy each other. I don't know. I do really enjoy him.
Well, on a physical level, there's that connection that you have, and you love him. You were in a relationship with him. That's all normal. But also part of, I think, what's maybe pulling her back is the fact that you have these unresolved issues with your father. And sometimes we replay these scenes from our childhood with, you know, new characters. And that's why we stay stuck in a karmic state. So part of it, I think, has to do with that, as Neil was saying. I mean, you mean...
Well, the reason, yeah, and the reason that you're drawn to him is real.
There's a real connection.
I don't think it's hopeless. I think it's a matter of this man becoming more mature and feeling that he can be happy with one woman. You know, I mean, you don't have to wait around for that, but I don't think it's hopeless. That's why you're not feeling, you see, you're not feeling satisfied with other men. One, well, you could say, well, give it more time. You need to be healthier and give it. But the other one could be, it's not over yet. There's something that is still perchance happening in his energy. And if you want to find ultimate happiness, it might be worthwhile to wait a little bit, maybe challenge him. There's nothing wrong with challenging him and letting him hear your proposal that he needs to grow up and be legitimate and monogamous. And is he ready for that? And if he is, you could share a life together. It would be great. You don't have to have just moments when you're having a good time. It could be a lifetime of moments that are elongated and not separated. I mean, you could be a little bit more forceful. You have nothing to lose, because if you don't, you'll end up probably fading off and trying to find somebody else.
So have you, before we close the conversation, Patricia, have you discussed the past infidelity with him?
We have not discussed the past fidelity like we should. I mean, of course, after the relationship ended, we did, we discussed it, but at that time it was, you know, it was tense emotions. So it wasn't just, I mean, like now, I think we would have a better chance at discussing it. It's been 2 years and, you know, it's not right in the moment, you know, with emotions and all of this stuff that's high, but I think we could discuss it
Well,
now.
Patricia, that's what I think you should do. I mean, Neil has a more bright outlook than I was presenting, I think. So I would have a candid discussion with him about why you're hesitant to get into a committed relationship, discuss what happened in the past and how he's going to take proactive steps to change his behavior. And, you know, not let that happen again if you're to enter into that type of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
yes,
that's what I think.
I do. Okay. I do plan on having a discussion with him. You both, as always, have been wonderful. I thank God for you both and the information that you share. Thank you so much. And please, please, please enjoy your Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much turkey if you eat
We don't eat meat.
I was going to say, if you eat meat, turkey.
Yeah. We want people not to eat turkeys.
No, we're strict vegetarians. We're vegetarians, so we don't eat we don't eat animals.
We probably
should
be vegan, but we do. I have a weakness for dairy, I must admit, but try to get my dairy from good sources where the animals are treated right. But Patricia, thank you so much. And if you haven't already, I don't know if you're on our Facebook, but we really appreciate your support. If you're not on there,
okay,
if you have an account, that really helps us.
Okay. I sure will. I'll support you both. Thank you again. I like to remain.
So
yes, you're welcome.
I'm saying again.
I would like to remain online, please.
Oh, sure. Yes, you may.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Take care. Happy holidays to you.
You.
Okay. We have time to talk.
Oh, we only have one caller?
Yes. You talk. I'm going to just run upstairs real quick.
Well, you know, I think there's a general concern today as we speak regarding the high suicide rate, and that Americans are dying at a much younger age due to suicide and alcohol and drugs and a general apathy. But my feeling is that we're going through a great entropy of spirit. I think that I know that people talk about the new spirit and spirit movement and metaphysics and things like this, but I think generally speaking, there's been an entropy of spirit, meaning that our sense of spirituality, our true sense of spirituality is deteriorating. And our true sense of the soul is deteriorating, which leaves us a kind of segregated on a platform of pure body. And if the body isn't happy, if the immediate circumstances of life aren't satisfying, if you're not getting what you want, if things are going downhill for you, the substance of soul and spirit is not enough to maintain a healthy living existence. So what's happening, in my estimation, is that there's a great entropy of spirit, a great breakdown, decline, disintegration of spirit and obviously soul, because there's nothing for the body, the mind, the psyche of an individual to cling to once they've reached the point of sheer frustration. So now suicide has become a sort of more of a commonplace option, as well as the fact that slowly, very slowly, we're becoming not only shocked but immune to mass demonstrations of violence in the schools and in shopping malls. There's always been a devaluing of human life. I mean, we've always had a disintegration of the value of life. That's always been in our history. But it's becoming a little bit more domestic in terms. The terror of what we're faced with, I think, is too as a result of the entropy of spirit and soul. And that, poof, you just die. Or maybe you die and you go to your maker or something because you made a great sacrifice, but it's delusional in my respect when it's conducted under those terms. But I think that's what we're suffering from in regard to an article I read about the Americans dying younger.
Oh, can I see real quick?
And it doesn't suggest anything about spirit. It's talking about the major, as we have advancements in science and medicine, and we're expected to live longer, what's going on, especially with younger people, and the suicide rates, and alcohol, and drugs, overdosing. It's become an epidemic. It is an epidemic. And I think that minds, younger minds, really can't grasp the true content of what a soul and a spirit existence is, and perhaps therefore what the consequences are of ending a physical life by one's own hands or feeling such despair. Well, it's always been the case, but I think it's becoming an increase.
Well, can I say something? There are many people who don't reach the point of suicide and in fact have very quote unquote rich lives on the earth, you know, doing fun activities and seeking physical goals and achieving them. So even those who don't reach a point of despair where they end their life, unfortunately, what happens if you live for the physical body and the physical existence, the existence of the earth, when your soul leaves the body, then unfortunately it's going to return because ultimately,
yeah,
spirit,
I mean,
is what needs to be
achieved. There's a measurement
achieved
of how you conduct your life to the very end. If you want to just have fun and leisure and pleasure and not address anything of great depth or find a very limited resource for that on that topic, yeah, of course, under the category of soul and spirit, you may be lacking in content. But what I'm talking about right now is the rootlessness, the sense that there is nothing on the planet left, and the only option is to kill oneself. And that's not a big deal. It's a big deal, but it's not really a big deal because the mind has to be prepared to kill oneself. You have to go through a certain mindset and do the final act. And so, you know, as we struggle, most of our callers are struggling to find something they want. They're frustrated. They're frightened and all that. And they're not getting exactly what they want. But they are still involved in the struggle of life. It is a struggle for existence and things like this. So in that regard, there's still an engagement. Now, the art of life is that during that engagement, you're supposed to feel whole still at any given time, even if you're lacking all of your resources or all of your dreams and desires, that most healthy individuals will still feel whole and complete. And those individuals usually draw allusions to spirit and soul, that they are content within that topic of spirit and soul. So it is something that is disintegrating, I think, in our society.
So, Neil, when you were younger, since you were born before me, did you think that there was more connection to the idea of spirit and soul? You're saying there's a disintegration, but that would mean that there are less people in a spiritual mode than in the past.
You mean what did I have a personal feeling?
No, not your personal feeling,
did
but you're
people
saying
around me?
You're saying there's a disintegration.
Oh yeah,
there so were you think more there's individuals. More individuals that are tapped into the idea of spirit and soul.
In my age, at my age, growing up, you didn't hear about all these suicides, and I mean there might have been an isolated one or two.
Really?
But there wasn't. No, there wasn't.
I mean, we're talking in
amount of suicides,
but
and going to school and people just not valuing life. Absolutely not. There's been a drastic sharp decline.
We're talking about the United States, but I mean, we have to look at the worldwide state.
Well, I'm not talking about
a
culture. I'm not talking about a culture or a cultural belief or disparity in a certain poverty stricken area. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that this sense of apathy and this sense of entropy of spirit has now permeated into the general consciousness of a youthful movement. It's not as strong as it can be. Of course, you're going to find people who are spiritually connected. Of course, you're going to find them, and you're going to find movements, and you're going to find spiritualists and Jews and Jewish people and Christians and all Muslims. But you're not going to. There's a definite crack in the fabric of our general youthful consciousness that wasn't there before. Mm. It's gotten wider. Climate change has gotten worse. The fault lines in California are widening.
I mean, talk about the population increasing. Of course, there's going to be more incidents of suicide when we have a greater number of people and more poverty.
It's unfortunately, we've increased the blind spot of spirituality. We don't see so well as we did. And that blind spot, when we look into the abyss of existence beyond our immediate concerns and wants and desires, that's gotten wider and darker and deeper. And unfortunately, it's swallowing up a lot of people because the consciousness to step back from existence, from the devoidness of existence, the consciousness to step back and to think and ponder that life is precious has deteriorated. And so unfortunately, like buffalo running over a cliff, there's a stampede towards this lack of consciousness, and it's increasing in value now. Obviously, it can be glorified. You can put yourself on Facebook and talk about how you're going to die. You could address the world and slowly reveal that you're going to kill yourself or you're despairing and all is lost. So what's different about today's sense of suicide is that it can become quite public and, systematically speaking, have a plot line.
And then an influence on other people.
An influence on
suggests,
other people.
You know,
when I grew up, you didn't have access to the internet. So someone couldn't call up somebody else and tell them how to commit suicide. I mean, there's isolated episodes of that, more or less just people killing themselves. And it's becoming a phenomena that has gripped both sexes. There's more suicide among females than there's ever been. It's not just the woman, drives her car into the lake with her kids because she was nuts. Now it's becoming an epidemic of younger people who feel ostracized or bullied, people who have no hope, and suicide is considered a valuable option. It works. You just leave. And the problem is that the content of soul and spirit, maybe these people think they're going to go on the other side and things will be better, or just have eternal sleep, you know, I think is a bit delusional, personally speaking. I don't think it's that easy to cross over by suicide and expect,
grace.
I just
which a lot of people disagree with, I must say.
Well, they can disagree all they want. It's an opinion. But, you know, we're talking about a sort of irrational disorder of consciousness. It's an irrational thought that's now becoming quite rational, that without the content of the true essence of spirit and soul, if you're not happy, kill yourself. Now, I know it's kind of, it seems a little bit flamboyant and swelled up in content in terms of what I'm speaking of, but I'm backed up by a recent study that life expectancy is trending downward, driven by suicide and drug overdose. And it's just, you know, in the 60s, the drug overdoses was the expansion of consciousness, and it took on a different flower power. So people were dropping acid and doing it in terms of enlightenment. Now it's taken a downward spiral movement, and people are doing drugs to slowly destroy the mind, to kill oneself. And it's become challenging. And it's also become a punishment act where kids encourage one another to do it. So to me, I think it's important in terms of the core issue of what existence really is, aside from, you know, whether we're trying to fight for boyfriends or girlfriends or jobs or houses or, you know, what's my read for the year, all of that.
What do my numbers say?
But those people are engaged in life. Yay or nay, they're engaged in life. And I think that's where we're having some problems that I wanted to address since we had some time.
We do have time.
Topic. And
Patricia's just listening.
She's a nurse, so she's willing to contribute any opinions, and she's online if she wants to.
Yeah, well, we can bring her back on. Why not? Patricia, do you want to say anything, or do you want to listen still? Any thoughts on this topic?
I am just listening. I was working on some studying on, I have a finals coming up, but it's very, very interesting. And like Neil said, it's deeper than what the surface. You got to understand spirit and body. And, you know, a lot of people or some people do not understand to that extent. So the surface is basically, you know what, life hurts. People are hurting people, and I'm hurt, and I have problems, and I don't see a way out, and that is just the attitude. And it, you know what? I don't have to live like this anymore. I don't have to live at all. And so I'll go and talk to people who are in this same situation and thought mind frame, and they'll support me, and this will give me more convincing mindset that, you know what, this is right. And again, they are not thinking in depth about, you know, spirit and body and God and deliverance and a way out through the Holy Spirit and hope. And, you know, they don't. The generation, it's definitely a generation of my children, because they are young adults. And I have to, you know, talk to them all the time. You know, please come to me. Please talk to me. We are living in a time that media, we have the internet, you know, we have all sorts of media outlets that our young children listen to, and not only do they listen to it, it's part of their choice. It's part of what determines what they do every day. Facebook, I tell Facebook everything, and then Facebook answer back to me. And you know what, Mom, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, Dad, you don't know anything about this. And so we as parents, as families, as friends, it's almost like a tug of war, to reach our young people. And so I could definitely see why suicide rate is so high. The times are certainly different.
Chris, I have a question for you. When you called on Monday, we were talking about whether you were going to be a delivery nurse or a hospice nurse. And you've mm-hmm. had some experience dealing with deaths and helping people cross over. Have you had extensive experience enough to talk about the mindset of those who are in that state? They're ready to leave the body and their perception of the physical life versus the spiritual life and where they might be going. What's the dialogue of those people that are ready to die?
I guess I don't have enough experience. One experience, of course, with the actual assisting one patient, bless her soul, to transition over, one experience. And I could tell you about that one experience with her. I just remember it as if it was yesterday. She's a lovely, lovely soul. And leading up to that point, she was stubborn. I can remember the nurse coming and saying, we would have thought that this week she would,
would have crossed, but
right. But she's still here. She's hanging on, and she was a tough one, in life. She's lived a beautiful, beautiful life. Again, I don't know what words to use how beautiful of a person she was, but. I can remember her attitude because she loved the Lord. She was very spiritual. And I can remember her telling me before she progressed more and more to the transition. I can remember her telling me when I came in one night that, Patricia, I'm ready to go. And I thought, in my mode of chipper and hey, and how you doing, and I'm so excited to be here, oh God, I've been off a couple of days, and where are you going, you have a doctor's appointment, she said, no, I'm ready to go home to the Lord. And she was just letting me know to get me prepared, but she was ready. And I thought, oh, okay, you're ready to go home. She said, I'm ready to go home. Very, very convicted and knowing this, she was ready. She was ready. She had this talk, she had had the talk with the Lord. She was ready to come home. She had done her job here. And so we prepared. That night, I got prepared with her, and as transition go, we know that each day, the body transition and with the organs and what their role is, and she did. She then started to shut down. Whereas she was talking, she talked less. She said less. Her appearance in the transition But she kept that spirit of don't be sad. That was her spirit. She thanked me for taking care of her. If I came in there and bathed her, or if she received her medicine because she was in pain, that spirit of thank you, you know, thank you, got it. And so I'm getting tears just talking about it. And so as the days, the nights progressed, because I was a 9P to 9-8, and the nurse came in and they did their check, and of course family in and out, that night finally did arrive. And again, her spirit remained the same. She was not sad. She was looking forward to going home.
She was looking forward to going home. She had, that's just it. She had built up enough content in her lifetime to sustain, maintain, and embellish on her spirit and soul. So she knew that the body is temporary, and the body's connection to the earth is temporary, and the true home of the spirit is in some other realm beyond life, beyond physical breath. So everything she was letting go of, which in our terminology would mean she was letting go of all of her karma, all of her everything. She was ready to surface into a new lifetime. So in emerging into that lifetime, we tend to think that the spirit and the soul ascends. So if the spirit, a soul ascends, what it does is it reaches the bottom layer of heaven. It reaches the bottom layer of the astral realm, and we sprout through that layer like a flower, and we bloom, and we're rooted now into the astral realm, God's kingdom, whatever you want to call it.
And shed the body, because we've established enough spiritual content to actually leave the earth permanently.
The seed is dispersed.
And then you ascend in the astral realm as there's more.
Yeah. And you ascend in according to what your faith, your belief, and your readiness to receive God on a higher level without consequence, in terms of forgiveness and true spirit.
Right, and the soul will do more work on the astral realm in order to ascend to a higher level.
Yeah.
Well, so, I'll say this, Neil and Kristen. That day I walked in, that night that I did arrive, her niece rushed me in there. She said, come on in here, Patricia. She said, Auntie's eyes are open, and her eyes haven't been open. I told her you were coming tonight, and her eyes are open as if she's waiting on you. And I said, she's waiting on me? She said, she's waiting on you. But it was a hard night for me because I literally asked God, please, I don't want to go in. I want to be called off tonight. And God, like I said on Monday, pretty much prepared me for the assignment to assist. And that's exactly what I did. As the night, I guess later on in the night, early morning, it was time. And I did walk over to her bed and place my hand over her hand on her chest and looked her in her eyes and told her, it's time to go. You have your people on the other side. They're waiting on you. We are fine. Thank you. I thanked her for everything she had done for me and my children. And her children were in the other room. And I told her, they thank her. We're going to be fine. It's time to go. And I told her, I said, now I'm going to go and let this window up. I'm going to go and let this window up, and they're coming, and you're going to have to go, but we love you. We love you so much, and we will keep you in spirit. We will know that you are going to always be with us. And she took her last breath on that, and it scared me. Lord knows it scared me. And I kept my hands right in place, and I waited a couple of minutes, and I told her, I said, now I'm going to have to go in here and wake your children up. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to make sure, I'm just going to make sure, but I'm going to have to go and let everyone know. I'm going to let everyone know. And I did. I waited a couple of minutes and I went in and I brought her children in. and I told them exactly what transpired between her and I and the transition over, and they just hugged me. Oh, my God, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for helping, you know. And I told them, I said, look, I'm going to take care of all, you know, the getting her ready for the morgue. I promised her I would do this. I know the morgue comes in and do this, but I promised her I would be here to the very end. And I did. Oh, it just makes me cry. It just makes me cry. I'm sorry.
No,
it's
fine.
Okay.
Yeah, you both played your roles beautifully. And at that point of when one body, one soul is about to be released, you had a very delicate, sincere, and poignant relationship. It, very important how we leave and who's with us when we leave. Whether it's your situation where you had a brief history with her, or somebody who rushes to the side of someone who was in a car accident and holds their hand while they gasp their last breath. We're all on some level interconnected. In terms of that sense of what we've done on the planet, and until our book is finally closed, you know, how we end that last word, the end. I think it's you're illustrating it in a very accurate and significant way. Yeah.
Yes, and she's come to me since and told me that she's received her wings. She's come to me a couple of times, and she's let me know that she loves where she is. It's the best place ever. That's, you know, and it's just a joy when she comes to me. And may I say her name? Is it okay to say her name?
Go ahead. We've got
a
couple of minutes left. We've got another caller we have to bring on, but. Go ahead, Patricia.
Her name is Judy Boyd. I just wanted to say I love you, Judy.
That's nice that you would express that to her on the air. And we appreciate you coming back on and talking to us, Patricia.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
All right, we have another Pat. Patricia, hi.
Hi. I'm walking my dog, and I just bother you guys. If it's too noisy, tell me. But wanted to wish you two a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much.
And, I'm sorry about the noise. I'm going to be in my car in a bit. Good news. I got come a long way from last year with my son. I've been invited back for Thanksgiving.
Oh, great.
We had that meltdown. And he is communicating with me at least about how stressful it's going to be, but at least he's communicating. So I'm going up with a lot of prayers and just that. And
well,
hoping
that's
it's
wonderful.
Yeah.
And
well,
I really,
big,
it was, go ahead.
That's a lot of progress since where we came from and all that animosity. So
absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I'm getting in the car right now. When he invited me, he finally said, well, do we need to talk about what happened last year? And I said something about, you know, let's just move forward. And then I said, do you want to talk? He said, no. Okay, good. That's great. So I actually wish I had said sometime, maybe, if we need to, but not now. Anyway,
we don't. Better not to do it before the holiday because that's going to stir up, you know, issues and it's you know.
I don't think it needs to be discussed. You know, you move on.
You know,
good
just,
level.
In the sense of his anger, when he's in the future dealing with his anger, I hope he's willing to come to me and maybe get some reflection on, you know, what happens with his anger.
This is a time, Patricia, to build a good rapport with him so that if he comes to a place of anger or something, he's got a new history with you.
That's true.
Don't bring
Very
up
true.
That. I don't suggest
that. No. No, and the holiday will be nice.
Yeah, okay.
Do Do you have a question today?
No, if you could, I just wanted to wish you happy Thanksgiving and let you know. And if you can send some healing energy my way for this Thanksgiving, I would appreciate that. And thanks so
definitely.
Much.
Well, what just real quick, because we have a couple minutes, what's going on with your financial situation? Has anything improved since we last spoke?
It's not improved, and I'm dealing with it a little better. I'm just kind of surrendering. It's really, it's almost bizarre the way things just crumble, even daily. It's like a Murphy's Law continually. But I'm getting used to it and being open. And another thing is I'm now going to do another electrode thing on my brain. I was just interviewed at Yale, and they want to do a test thing with Medicaid, meaning they want to try to see after Medicare covers a certain amount, will Medicaid, and test, meaning that if they refuse, Yale is willing to cover for me, which would be thousands and thousands of dollars. It is 6 weeks, five days a week of 40 minutes getting your brain magnets. That's what it is.
Oh, and what is it supposed to improve depression?
Yeah, depression. Or? Absolutely. Depression. Okay. Yeah. And I feel so fortunate that not only did they accept me, but they accept me at this point where Yale is doing this thing.
Excellent.
Where it's 90% they will cover me. And so I'm excited about that too.
Well, that's wonderful. That's great news. So hopefully
I'll let you know how it goes.
The money situation going a little better for you.
Yeah.
And but this is good that this has come in. We're glad you called, and we really appreciate you wishing us a happy Thanksgiving. That's nice. That's really
it's nice to connect with you. Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Have a good holiday. God bless
you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. We have about 3 minutes.
Well, getting back quickly to our topic, you know, I think shows like ours and other shows on Blog Talk, or whether it's on TV, or
you know, there's
in communities.
Hay House has a network where they broadcast spiritual content.
I think it's important sometimes to open up the discussion to the content of soul and spirit.
Yeah, because a lot of the content of the show is, you know, based on helping people survive in the world.
Our immediate concern is to help people who are calling in to address their needs, and not to have some program that we just say every time somebody calls, well, you know, you got to have soul and spirit. But I think it's all important, and hopefully this year is going to be an exciting year. We have a lot to look at this year in terms of
the upcoming
atmosphere
year
of our nation, and what's going to be decided, and who's going to be in office, and how that's going to change. We've got tremendous turmoil around the world and revolts that are have no seemingly good end at this point. We have climate change problems. Everybody in every corner of the world, and every living thing in every corner of the world, is in a struggle to survive, which is nothing new, but it's reached a crisis at this point in time where the whole world, it seems to be boiling to a point at which we talk about annihilation and extinction.
Annihilation.
And destruction, and what's going to happen. It's very concerning as we start to close this year and enter 2020 with varied expectations and theories about what we're going to do with this planet of ours, this rock we live on. But as far as our corner is concerned, we'll be here. We'll be here this year coming up. We're not at the close of this year, but we're
not
here
yet.
To do our
not
small
quite yet.
Part. And, you know, hopefully we'll have callers and good expectations that result in good finishes.
Good results for all of our callers as well. Okay, so that's about it for today. We hope you have a happy Thanksgiving holiday, and we will be back on the air Wednesday next week, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern.